Can you tell us just about your walk with the Lord? What does it look like? How have you grown in Him? How do you know that you're loved by the Lord? Just all the little things, or a little story to give someone an insight to, this is a really sweet relationship and this is what it looks like.
Well, when I gave my life to Christ, it was at summer camp when I was 12 years old, and I knew that I wanted to serve God. And for many years, I thought that was what the relationship was about, was me being good for God or doing the right things. He forgave me of all my sins. He came into my life. He transformed me. And I needed to start Bible studies at my school, and I needed to go on missions trips, and I needed to do and be. And then there was just this season of life as I got in my upper teen years where I realized I was trying to make God proud of me. And that's not the relationship that He wants. It's not that kind of father waiting to hear if I got good grades, but He just wants to love me, and He wants to be in that primary place in my thoughts and in my heart and be king of my life. So there was almost sort of this second phase of my relationship with Christ as a believer who moved into a deeper relationship where it was falling in love with Jesus and really this deeper walk with Him. Over the years, I have seen how, again, it's sort of this ebb and flow concept where there are seasons when God is so silent and I feel desperately alone, and the testing of my faith is in motion as I'm believing that He's really is working all things together for good, and that He really has not forgotten me. And then there's other seasons where it's just so sweet and so rich. One thing that's helped me for years and years has been I don't know how long ago I started doing this, decades ago, but I love words. That's kind of my love language with the Lord. So I read the Bible all the time because it's words. I love it. I love just sort of being on a treasure hunt and finding these things that God says that are so deeply profound that it's Him expressing His love for us. Mm-hmm. And it's scattered all through the Bible. But I have always asked Him for a word in January. Well, usually by the end of the year, I start asking, like, Lord, is there a banner? Is there a theme? Is there sort of a overarching word for the coming year? And you don't have to give me a word. I'm not saying I'm entitled to it. But if you if you want, I'm like Oliver, you know, please, sir, may I have a word? Can I have some more? And there's just been this consistency in how He gives me a word every single year. And I know it because it's sort of this reverberating in my spirit when the word just kind of settles on me. And it's like a drum, just boom. Like I feel it like, oh, that's... And just this year, I was driving down the hill, you know, by the school, and it was such a beautiful day. And I was saying, Lord, it's almost the end of December. And, you know, I'm just wondering if You have a word for me this year. I just want to be paying attention to what it might be. And just like that, boom, it was in me and on me. And the word was love. Mm. And I thought, what a great word. The banner over this coming year is love. And, you know, right away, my thoughts were, okay, who am I supposed to love more? How can I love my husband more? How can I show God's love to others? And then there was just sort of this feeling like pressing on my chest, like calm down, calm down. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, this year, I just want to show you how much I love you. And it was so exhilarating, so freeing, that, again, it's not about all this doing. It's about being, and just to be his daughter, and just to, again, it's the concept of spoken for. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loves me. He's placed his love on me. Mm-hmm. And so I have experienced that this year, and I've journaled about it, just times where I'm just giddy over that sense that he's never going to stop loving me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do to make him say, okay, you're just ridiculous. Like, but he's so patient, and that overwhelming sense that he's with me has just rested on me in such a lavish way this year. So it's, I think if anyone that's listening is saying, how can I get to that place in my relationship with Christ? It's being completely surrendered, that you're just open and, Lord, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. Mm-hmm. And in that place of openness, there's all this room for his love to just fill us and flood through.
I love that. And I remember last month you were telling me how, I think you do this every morning. You go out.
Yes.
You go out to your lanai. Do you want to tell him? Or do you want me to, I'll take it down.
Oh, yeah.
You go out to your lanai, which is like a patio in Hawaiian, and you just lift your hands up and you say, I surrender, Lord.
Yeah.
I surrender this day to you. I surrender everything to you. And I love that. And, you know, this month there's been some things going on that have just been really heavy or hard or the unknowns. And, on my walks, I just got that. I remembered you saying that, and I just started to say, I surrender it to you, Lord. And it was like this flood of peace.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can't explain it.
No. I think I try to like hold on to things and figure it out, no. Or I'm going to pray for it. But then when I just kind of open my hands and say, Lord, I surrender.
Yeah.
Like, give me wisdom.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. If this brings glory to you, then okay. If it doesn't, then please change it. Like, it just brought so much peace to just say those two words.
Yeah.
And so I love how you said that too. It's just living a life of surrender and how he fills us up, mm-hmm. and leads us and guides us. But also I think it's not so much becoming the best version we do become more like Jesus, but it's like this relationship, and we don't even realize how much love the Lord wants to pour out on us, or how much grace he has for us, or peace he has for us. Like, and I remember your word from the year before, 2 years before, and these words the Lord gives you, I feel like it's just this grace. Like, I'm not expecting you to
do anything or make it happen.
I just want to like teach you about this characteristic of me. And I want you to rest in it and to know it. And I think that's so sweet of the Lord how he does that. And I think a lot of times we come to the Lord thinking that he's going to ask us something to do or be or change. And a lot of times it's like, no, I just want to love you. I just want to show you who I am. I want to show you how glorious I am. I want to show you that you can trust me. And I think that's so sweet of the Lord.
It is. The years ago, the verse that just broke my heart and changed everything around for how I thought about God was back in Genesis 6, I think, and it's Noah and the ark, and it's everyone on the earth was wicked and doing what was right in their own eyes, and I'm loosely translating this. And then the verse says, and the Lord God was sad that he had made mankind. Mm-hmm. And I remember just weeping and weeping and weeping and then journaling about that. Lord, I don't want you to ever be sad that you made me. Mm-hmm. You made me for a purpose. And you have these plans that are way beyond anything I could ever imagine. But I have to do it your way, in your time, on your terms, because you're the Lord of all, and I have to surrender completely to you. But just that, I felt so sad for God. You made people, you made a beautiful place for them to live, and they all went their own way and ignored you, and then you were sad that you made them. And how relevant that is to our world today. Mm-hmm. And how different, like, in is it 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles? It talks about how the Lord searches the whole earth looking for those whose hearts are completely turned to him. And just that sense that I want to be when your eyes come looking over this mm-hmm. neighborhood, I want to be one that my heart is turned toward you. Mm-hmm. And when I get up in the morning, I go out on the lanai, and I get up really early every morning, and I'm always barefoot. I did this back when we lived in places where we had cold weather, and I'd still do it barefoot. And I go out and I put my feet in the earth and just lift my hands to heaven. And it's just this sort of, I am so available. Mm-hmm. Like I qualify for just being ready for anything you want to do in my life, because I am completely unable to make anything happen on my own. So I am just well positioned for a miracle. I don't know. I don't even know how to say it, but just, and when I pray, it's always different. Sometimes it's just how great God is. I just want to worship him. And then I always bow before him because he is the Lord of all. And I bow, and then I go inside and like, okay, what are we going to do today, Lord? I'm on duty. I'm ready. But see, even that is just that mindset that we have to always be doing something for God. And I'm still like shifting to that love relationship where there are times when he just wants me to sit with me.
Yeah.
Just listen. Mm-hmm. There was one time when I was in the parking lot and I looked up at this shower tree. We have these beautiful trees in Hawaii they're little blossoms that come down and they're pink and yellow, and it was in full bloom. And I just stopped and looked at the tree, and I just had this feeling like looking around, like, did anybody else see that? God made that tree. And just this sense of how it must delight him when his children just say thank you or just mm-hmm. appreciate what he's done for them.
Yeah. And I will say with the surrender thing,
yeah,
I think it's okay to wrestle with it. I think I remember, a little bit ago I was going through a really hard time and just hearing like, oh, well, we don't know the plans of God and we have to trust him anyway. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be like, no, like this is really hard and this mm-hmm. sucks. And I'm really struggling with understanding theology in this moment, and to be okay, that's okay if we turn our hearts to the Lord. It's okay to wrestle and to not be okay saying I surrender right in this moment, because I think when we're really honest with the Lord and open to him and say I don't understand this, or I don't really want to surrender this because this is really hard, or I'm really fearful about this, or I don't know what's going to happen if I surrender. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the Lord wants. And he comes and meets with us. And whether it's in that moment or if it takes months, he shows us that he really is trustworthy and yeah. we really can surrender. And that there's so much joy and peace when we do, because we know that we're trusting in his character and who he says he is and then how mighty he is, instead of trying to figure it out on our own.
And Alyssa, that's what makes it real. And especially the season of life you're in, that should be the natural response. Like I'm past that season, and I'm like, it's easy for me to be like, I've seen it all, I've heard it all, I've been through it all, you know, and now it's, I can go out in the morning and lift my hands to the heavens and say, bring it on, do your worst, I've been through so much already, you know, do your best is what I really want to say. But that for you to be in that season and have that kind of thought or response is what's real. Mm. And it should be. It would probably be shallow if it was just like, well, I don't know, that was really hard, but I guess God's in control because everybody's right. trying to tell me that I should just be trusting him. It's mm-hmm. like you gotta weep and wail and yeah, go downstairs and cry all your tears into that pillow and right. come upstairs when you're done. Things haven't changed, have they?
Right. And I think too, in community, letting people be messy and mm-hmm. letting people wrestle and to be there and to support them and to hold their hand or to be the one to just like have the refuge and say, here's my house, go to my room, you can cry out all mm. your tears and encourage them with truth. But sometimes I think, I know in my life, I just want to like be that person that says the right thing that changes their life or to like say something so meaningful or so encouraging that the whole situation changes instead of just like walking with people yeah. through the mess and praying with them and grieving with them and letting them go through the five stages of grief or whatever it is and asking all the questions and sometimes just listening or sometimes like reminding them of scripture or something instead of just having to have, and I don't want to be sarcastic when I say this, but instead of just having like a band-aid of truth that we always say because yeah. we don't like people to be messy. We want them to like just trust God all the time. But I think because God does that, the Holy Spirit does that. He walks with us and he understands our hearts and our emotions, and Jesus wept too. And
yeah.
so just yeah. letting people to, I don't know. And I think I'm preaching more to myself than anyone else because I am that personality where I just want to be the savior or whatever. And just instead just loving people and encouraging them and praying with them through their wrestle.
I went through some really rough stuff when I was in my early college years. And I did that route of just saying to other people, no, it's okay. God's going to work it out. And everybody's mm-hmm. saying, oh, this will be for good later. You'll see. And I let everything stay on the surface. And I think Ross and I were married 3 years and I just had this meltdown. He came home and I was just in the hallway, like all curled up, crying. What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? And it was years of the platitudes that didn't ring true anymore. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what was real or who. So how much better, how much healthier to be in the moment going, I am feeling all this pain and I'm going to speak it honestly to those I can trust. Mm-hmm. And then what a gift if they just let you be. Mm-hmm. And the really precious memory when my dad passed away and I happened to be the next week at a friend's house, and there was a woman there from Europe. I'd been for a week just like, no, he's in heaven, and it's, you know, just however you do when you lose someone you love. And I was sitting on the couch at this friend's house, and she came over and sat next to me and just put her head on my shoulder and slipped her hand in mine. And she sat there for maybe 20 minutes. And that was the most healing of anybody. She didn't say a word. It was just this expression of comfort. And I was like, okay, I guess it is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and cried a little and gave her hand a little squeeze. And I was like, what a gift she gave me. And I hardly know this woman, and she's not from my culture. And she's, but she grieved in with me, alongside me, in a very authentic way that gave me the freedom to just.
Yeah.
If we can be that to other people, what a gift. Mm-hmm. What a gift.
And I want to grow so much in that.
It's easier for us to go, you know, well, here's a Bible verse, or here's what, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's what we've learn from social media, because there's so many tragedies and we all want to respond to it. And so it's easy to just emoji praying hands, you know. Right. I mean, it is, we all right. do it, and like crying face and just not being able to physically enter into it, but try to express somehow mm-hmm. that we want to be there for that person. Yeah. And that's how we go on.
Mm-hmm. And it takes more time, because it's not like, oh, I'm just going to say something and they'll be great. But it's, you know, like she spent 20 minutes with you just holding your hand or whatever it may be.
Talk about the messy. That's such a great concept. How have you learned that lately? What? How can you be comfortable with a messy life, messy relationship? Well,
I feel like being a mom of toddlers really house. Helps yeah. you be okay with messy. No, I think, and maybe we'll close this and then we're going to have a part two in a little bit. But I just think because I grew up in a Christian home and going to church and being a leader at church, leading Bible studies, being mm-hmm. a leader on campus, and I had a real authentic walk with the Lord and relationship with Him. But I, somewhere along the line, I believe this lie that I had to lead this perfect life and that God expected me to, not that my life was perfect, but just that I should be able to respond perfectly and not be messy and not totally be vulnerable with people or what I really think, or, you know, when I'm alone at in my bed at night, like what real thoughts or real feelings I have. And just, or if I did share with someone, then I had to immediately share with like, oh, but here's God's truth, or I know this to be true. And so I feel like the Lord has taken me on this journey starting in college and up till now. So like all of my 20s, just to be okay. And at first it was, I feel like the first half of my 20s and especially college was just learning to be vulnerable with people and open up and be honest about what I actually was thinking and lies I was believing and thought processes I was having. Because I think how we had talked at the very beginning of this podcast, when we say something out loud, even if it's to ourselves, if we're saying it out loud, there's so much light that comes. And we're like, wow, do I really believe that? Like, that has no truth whatsoever. And so I feel like the first half of my 20s was learning to be able to do that. And then more so the last just few years, just, I don't know, like just learning more about God's grace and that He, actually this last year I read a book by David Brenner, The Gift of Being Yourself, and then Surrender to God's Love. That's the one. Surrender to God's Love like blew my mind. And it was one of those things where you know your whole life growing up that God loves you and that you can't do anything else to earn it or deserve it. Like, and I remember at camp one time, this pastor saying like, however much God loves you right now, like it'll never get any more or any less. Like, this is how much He loves you. And I remember at that moment and like my whole life thinking, no, He can still love me more. Like I can still... And I don't even know if it was conscious where I was thinking I can do more, but I just think I never felt like I was enough or I had to like be perfect, even though I couldn't have expressed that. And I didn't think that consciously, but being this like perfect good girl for God. And last year.
To make Him proud of you, like I was saying earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, and so this last year when I read this book, Surrender to God's Love, and oh, that's okay. Those fall out all the time.
I'm breaking her chair.
We have these office chairs that I got for Jeffrey's birthday, and there's these like little knob things that go in all the holes, but I think you're supposed to glue them, and we didn't glue them.
Okay. Continue. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So this book, and I remember he just talks a lot about what God's love is and how we can really, this goes along with what we're talking about, really surrender in all circumstances because of how deep God loves us and how His love is always pouring out on us. And this book is pretty small. I did it for my devotions. Highly recommend it. But I don't even know what he said. I couldn't tell you, but there was this like two pages where all of a sudden it just clicked. It totally clicked where it was like, God loves me so much, and that's never changing, and I can't earn his love. I can't do anything to make him more proud of me. I won't do anything to make him not love me or not like me or to be disappointed in me. I mean, we sin, and the Lord is sad about that.
Yeah.
And he wants us to live holy lives, but I don't think he's ever disappointed in us. And I think that's a mind shift. When I finally realized that, I was like, I can be myself, and like, I'm messy. I'm really weak. I was saying, I have insecurities. I, you know, have really hard days, and the Lord, like, that doesn't change what he thinks about me. And
he knows all that.
Yeah.
There's nothing so surprising.
And it's not like he's like, okay, I'm just going to leave you alone for like 20 minutes so you can cool off. And yeah. You know.
Think about what you
said. Yeah, think of
go over in that corner. And no, it's just that.
He just enters in more.
Relentless love that he keeps pursuing us.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'm glad you're messy because now I have something to work with. I can like, you know, you're being honest, you're being vulnerable with me. As long as we come to him in the mess, I think that's all that he cares about. Like, come to him. And I remember, I think I've shared this before, but when Cannon was a newborn, I was just having a really, really hard time, like not sleeping at all. He was having a hard time eating. I was just, you know, I would wake up. Jeff would wake up every morning and I would be bawling because I'm like, this is so hard. And I remember one of my older mom friends saying, Alyssa, all that matters is if that you're coming to the Lord. If you're coming to him on your knees, that's all he cares about. You don't have to come to him standing up. Like, look what I did. I'm rocking it. Like, I got this. If we're just coming to him, even if we're crawling to him, that's all that matters. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's just the season of life I'm in or what God has really wanted to break down in me, but I feel like I'm becoming much more comfortable. I want to change, but much more comfortable. Like, I can be messy and people can see my mess. And like, if my kids throw a tantrum in the airport, like, it's okay because
it's real. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. And it's so ancient because it's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it was a big mess up. They disobeyed God, and the first thing that they wanted to do was cover up, fig leaves, quick, hide, go in the bushes. But God, the relentless lover, came walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he said, where are you? I mean, that's his cry to us still. He wants us back. He comes continually seeking us. And Adam and Eve came out of hiding. They came out from behind the bushes and they confessed what had happened, and that the relationship with God was in that communication. And so, yeah, as messed up as it gets for us, it's that we don't try and repair or cover up or make really cute little fig leaf dresses to make, you know, look how cute I am. No, it's just come out of hiding and be authentically surrendered to him because he's looking. Where are you? He's coming after you.
Yeah. And I think when we can rest in his love in our messiness, then we can rest in who we are with other people. Like,
yes,
you can share your messiness.
Makes other people feel comfortable too. Yeah.
So,
good stuff, Alyssa.
That was good. Wow. Okay, you guys, we are going to end there for today, but join us next week for part two, where we're going to be talking a lot about how Robin got started in the creating and writing process, and also a lot about motherhood and her new book, A Pocket Full of Hope for Mothers. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.